So David,
hi.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm
excited. Pleasure.
About this. Thank you.
You are living in Hudson now.
I actually live in Germantown. But
oh,
I work,
you do?
Yeah,
oh,
my
really?
Studio is in Hudson. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, that makes you a Hudsonite.
Yeah, right. But another just Germantown denizen. I like that,
so
too.
So I live there, and then my studio is just up the street from here, mm-hmm. across from the hospital. And yeah, I like going
uh-huh.
back and forth. So
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And where did you come from, and what landed you in Hudson?
Yes, how did you
Germantown?
Get here?
So I came, like many people, vis-a-vis New York City.
Uh-huh.
So I was down in Brooklyn, and
Brooklyn.
Yeah, that place. You've heard of it.
Yeah, but we Alana Hauptman at the Red Dot just went through this with some writer who was writing about Hudson, and she said when young people come into her restaurant, the Red Dot.
Okay, yeah, I know.
And she say, where are you from? They say New York. She said, Manhattan. They say, no, Brooklyn. She said, that's not New York.
It's true. It is a borough.
It depends on mm-hmm. who you're talking to, I guess.
That's true. That's true. So I did, but originally I come from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, your last guest, Carrie, I was just saying to her on our way out that we have a lot in common. I actually was an aspiring writer, and New York was the draw. For me there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a lit degree.
Okay.
So that's my background.
That's interesting.
And then I worked as a copywriter and had, you know, literary aspirations on the side. And that banging your head against the wall, I that resonated with me as well, what Carrie, your last guest, said.
Right.
So I switched into visual arts. That's
and
the short story. The short
banged
story.
Your head against the wall? Or
enough.
Maybe not
visual
arts. I don't know.
No, it was quite good. So I'll tell you briefly the story was I made the decision just to stop writing.
And really?
I said, yeah, this is enough. And I was living in Brooklyn. I had a nice place. Actually, I didn't have a nice place. I had a cheap place.
Uh-huh.
And I had a roof. So I went up to the roof and I just sat there and I thought something will come. And I started, I'd always... Some background, I'd always liked making things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really identify as an artist or a painter or sculptor. But whilst on the roof, I started working some canvas. There was some canvas up there. And then just encouragement from friends and kind of looking back, I thought, wow, this may be something I like to do. And then it was funner.
It was funner.
It was funner again, your last guess.
There you are.
It was funner. Than writing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
I find writing the funnest.
You do?
I
oh,
do,
you do?
Yes.
Have you
okay.
tried other
No, I have no
friends?
Talent. I mean, I take piano lessons. I'm kind of a lifetime intermediate on the piano. But no, I just write. So there you were on the roof.
On the
and
roof,
started
yeah.
to make stuff.
Making things.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky. I got a lot of support,
mm-hmm.
Community support. Did a big project in the neighborhood of Gowanus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just sort of went from there and started sort of building this portfolio. And where we intersect, I know I showed you there's an article that I sent you guys
mm-hmm.
for some
mm-hmm.
background.
Yes.
And just describing my visa situation and, mm-hmm. and how I got here. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I never knew that Canadians had to have visas to come here.
I know, it's so interesting. And we chatted before the show, and I think I said this, that it's a common response.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly with my going back and forth across the border, I certainly appreciate the idea. There are different places. It's
mm-hmm.
it's an international border. And,
yes.
Everyone's allowed to make rules for their own house. So
if I wanted to go to Canada
yeah.
and live there, I'd have to have a visa or work there or...
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, I briefly looked at Canadian immigration because I thought, oh, I wonder how hard it is
mm-hmm.
to immigrate to Canada. Now, this is a cursory Wikipedia reading of it. That
yeah.
So Canada has four classes.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. immigration has six
hmm.
or seven.
Hmm.
And so I don't actually know. I know it's very difficult to immigrate to Canada.
Hmm.
And they do a point system,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. Again, I don't know very much about. But I've heard it argued that it could be construed as a little discriminatory
hmm.
in terms of
mm-hmm.
the criteria they set. So,
hmm.
but again, I can't speak to it with any real knowledge. But
well, I always heard they don't want us old folks because the insurance is so good,
that's
and we'd
right.
just be coming up for the insurance.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
To keep the old folks out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's diabolical.
Really?
Canadians. Who'd have
well, their thinking in the United States are pretty diabolical, too, because one of the schemes in trying to change the health system, health insurance system, is to make older people pay more money for their insurance because they cost more because they have more ailments and more are taking more pills.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of pills, that's where people get their...
Oh, Canada, their, cheap prescriptions?
Yeah, cheap prescriptions.
Yeah, they get sent through the mail, apparently.
I thought they
do.
Did something about that.
Yeah.
I'm buying in the good old USA myself.
Yeah,
well,
me
good.
Too. Yeah.
Right. I guess that's one should, so...
But people in the United States, at least in this part of the world, will often say, you know, if the... things in Washington don't get better, I'm moving to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
never say I'm moving to Mexico or I'm moving to France, Paris, France. No. Or,
although maybe they should. Paris is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would strike that off their list. No, I've heard that. And, you know, I have to say I have a very limited experience with immigration here. It's a very specific case. And I think I've been treated very fairly. And
how many years have you been here?
Oh, let's see. I think 2008. So I came down. I came down as sort of as a preview. And you come down. This is the thing. Canada is allowed, as a Canadian citizen, you're allowed 6 months to come down and either be a tourist or go under what's called...
I was going to ask that. So if you just wanted to take a vacation in New York or something, you can do that.
Yeah, and you can up to 6 months. And that's actually for all the Canadian old people who go down south for the winter.
It's enough time.
They changed that because they were finding it the regular three-month thing wasn't enough. And so I came down 2007 to do a little exploration. Mm-hmm. I was working as a copywriter, and then, I guess it would be 2006. I mix up my dates.
You have to speak directly.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Oh, there
I'm
you go.
Mixing up my dates. But I've been here for a while, but I've been in Hudson specifically for 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
And that I was sort of squeezed out of the city.
Uh-huh.
For me personally, it was maybe time to move, and I'm really enjoying the country living out in Germantown and here. And Hudson, it's still more affordable than down on the city, there's a proximity to it. You know, the kind of usual arguments.
Right, yes.
Although I have to say, you know, when I moved up here, I think it's like a little, maybe the proximity, for me anyway, I realized was more a psychological crutch that I could go.
Exactly.
I never actually go.
Yes.
I very rarely go, so. Yeah. And
so what is your work like? I mean, you're a painter, right?
Well, so I do painting and installation now. Mm-hmm. I have, and I give details later, I have a show upcoming. In September, a painting show.
Mm-hmm. Where is that going to be?
That's going to be in the third floor above the wine gallery.
Okay.
Hudson Wine Merchants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful gallery up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to showcase some recent painting work. And then I have an installation practice. How do I describe that? It's site-specific work where I basically work with the material that's there, whatever community connections there are, and try to make something. Sort of what I do is make things. So, one of them down the River Loft.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that site, and Kite's Nest very graciously has offered me as many bricks as I want. So I'm actually building a installation in my studio that I hope to open to the public. Also hope to get something going down at the River Loft, a kind of temporary installation that forms a bridge. Right now, I can't speak to what's actually happening down there, but I know there are huge
River
plans.
Loft, like you mean the building that burned.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but I'm hoping to get something up and going there. And then I have another installation I haven't found a home yet for.
Oh, okay, because you sent me a couple of things.
Yeah.
And one of it looked like that you had it going down there by the River Loft.
Yeah, a little bit. Right now, we have everything in place, and just there's some logistics to work out. So that's kind of where we're at that. But meanwhile, I have plenty of other stuff to do because a lot of stuff is upcoming right now for me.
Great.
So yeah.
And then you sent me the other thing about
my townspeople.
Your townspeople.
Oh, I'm so excited about this one. It's a difficult one to pitch. I don't know how, and even if I could describe it on the radio, but it's a it's almost like a pop-up funeral. And if that's not hard to convince someone that it's going to be a good time, it's a part memorial. There's a large canvas. It's a rendering of Gustave Courbet's burial at Ornans, which is a giant funeral painting, peasant funeral. And I rendered it out in different figures, but the same size, same aspect. And that forms the backdrop for this thing that I call the memory field. And it's a participatory installation that commemorates the dead. Kind of, it's a reflective space. It's ultimately, I hope, it's a sort of an uplifting type of installation.
Yes.
But there is, it's a little difficult to find a venue for it in part because it's quietude, I think.
How much space does it require?
Yeah.
I'm flexible. Mm-hmm. If anyone's listening, I'm flexible. No, ideally it's a big, 100 by, like the field itself is 50 by 75 feet, something like that. The canvas itself, the main piece, the kind of backdrop is 10 by 22 feet.
Okay.
So it has to hang, and then a field of 50 or more feet kind of comes out from there. Ah. But again, I'm flexible.
And have you shown it?
I have made a mock-up. I came up with it. I was in another studio. My studio was formerly in Germantown, and I had this wonderful old house that's right next to a restaurant, a new restaurant that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Gaskins?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if we could mention the name. Okay, yes. Oh. Okay, Gaskins, yes. That way.
It's mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And so I kind of conceived of it there mocked it up and kind of... it was an interesting process. My father passed away in April, Easter 2015.
Uh-huh.
And this actually is interesting. It sort of diverted my practice a little bit. And it's obviously, it's where the funereal sort of tones come from.
Yes.
From this. So I've seen it mocked up, at life size, which is exciting. Sort of
yes.
The documentation. So, but I would love to bring it into the community. My townspeople. The title comes from a William Carlos Williams film, Tract,
yes.
called Tract,
uh-huh.
and it begins with "I will show you how to perform a funeral, my townspeople." So that's sort of, which,
yeah.
That maybe I won't
nice
be that
too.
Presumptuous, but I have some ideas if people are interested in this sort of, sort of thing. So.
Okay, we're talking to David Eustace, who's a painter and an installation artist. He lives in Germantown and has a studio in Hudson.
He's here from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from Canada.
Yes. Yeah. Now, that interests me because what we hear as artists in the United States is that life is always better for artists in other countries than it is here, where you're just sort of thrown out there and get a day job. You know, you've got to support yourself. Whereas sometimes other countries,
right.
or socialist countries, offer support for their artists. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I do. And, I choose to be here and work within this context, so that sort of speaks to maybe my preference right now in terms of, because there certainly is, in the article I sent you, there is a freedom here as an artist and freedom to fail, kind of on your own terms, that appeals to a certain personality, that appeals to a certain kind of art. And
you have to speak directly.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I keep wandering from the mic. but in terms of state support, great. I think it's great. I mean, and I think that artists should be supported both by their community, and that could be done privately. Corporately, it could be done.
David, either turn the
through
mic
the government.
Or your head.
There we
there
go.
Go.
Oh, we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I hope you got most of that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But no, I part. It's funny because that's kind of what attracted me to the States, right? I thought, writers, they just have it so much better down there for
different reasons,
right?
Yeah.
It's not always.
Tell me about it.
About the funding. It's about the climate in which you can create work and. And that sort of thing. So, grass is greener, I guess. But
I guess it is.
But no, I mean,
it's always greener. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. As I said, my preference right now is being here and, and kind of slogging it out in this system. So, yeah.
So when is your next show?
It is. We have the weekend after Labor Day, after we have to just kind of settle on an opening night, but I think that's the September 8th, 9th. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Something like
that. And then hopefully with some of these projects, you know, I'll make announcements on social media and get the word out, and people can come take a look at them. And
good.
Yeah, yeah, participate in them. That's the installation work. Like the painting, I'm just kind of, as I said, it's a showcase of the works on canvas, but the installation work is where I'm really excited to sort of engage in the community here, because people are great. They come out and they support things. And
yes, they do.
They really do. Yeah. And it's so much appreciated. True. I think, again, I there's something about being here that I kind of tacit social support to try crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's a little bit different back home. Like, I really do. I'm going to tell you very quickly about a project I did in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I love the American Space Program. I was sort of fascinated by it. And so I did a project around it, responding to a gallery's theme that was transportation, and part of my piece was blowing up a toy, like a model replica rocket, and then inviting people to come put it back together. And I sort of joked, I said, you know, if I had to do this in Canada, I'd have to get a permit, a commission would be started, and here people are just like, do you need a light, like to light the fuse? And that's like, to me,
exactly.
America. Yeah,
wow.
It's really, to me, that in my mind, you know, this is just my experience, of course. So. Yeah.
Well, you've landed in a community which has a very high percentage of artists.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it's a couple of years ago anyway, they said it was the highest percentage in the state of self-employed people, includes entrepreneurs like antique dealers, for example.
Okay.
Or artists.
Right.
Or artists.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
And they're in the same category in terms of what you just mentioned there.
Well, I think that's the only way they could determine how many there were.
Right.
That there were, you know, I think that's the way it was stated. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ellen. I think they said entrepreneurs, correct?
Well,
which is and or self-employed people. I can't quite remember either.
I mean, artists are pretty self-employed.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Writers, definitely, as well as visual artists, mm-hmm, and all other kinds.
All of the other kinds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it seems to me, because I worked in the arts funding field for a long time, mm-hmm, at the New York State Council on the Arts, and for a while at the National Endowment for the Arts. That money, I haven't looked into it lately, but it seems that Mr. Trump, for example, wants to do away with the National Endowment for the Arts and the one for the humanities.
I've heard that, yeah.
And I don't know if there's much of a fight being put up, so it's hard to know,
you know,
how it's going to end.
I haven't heard much about it at all, now that you mention it.
I know.
I mean, there's so much other stuff going on. That
yes, there is. So.
There are all these other
things.
There's
a lot to be concerned about, one way or the other. Mm-hmm.
There is.
But, you know, I remember when I was working at the New York State Arts Council, there was a big controversy over whether we could give funds to individual artists. The state government cannot, by law, give gifts to people. In other words, they're spending taxpayers' money. You can't just give hand money out.
To individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
Or to organizations, unless they have a purpose that is, you know, a stated purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, well, it's complicated. But with individuals, the way the State Arts Council got around it was to have the grant to an individual come through an organization, a 501c3
tax exempt.
Okay,
like a sponsored, some sort of sponsored,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
a sponsorship project of some sort.
Oh, that's smart.
And that worked well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's smart.
And the other way was through the New York Foundation for the Arts. Grants were given, mm-hmm, but you had to do a community project. In other words, if you had an exhibition here,
yes,
you, mm-hmm, could say bring school kids in to look at it and talk about it and learn, and ask why are you doing this funny thing over here?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did it for one of the first projects. I applied to the Brooklyn Arts Council, and they gave me a grant, and that was that similar question. And my answer, as it was the Gowanus Canal project, is that I need the money to rent a, it was a 23-person canoe to take people up and down the canal. I had been making work in the canal, and I wanted to showcase the environment. And they, to their credit, they went for it. They're like, yeah, have your canoe. Have
Wonderful.
People on the canal. Like,
yeah.
Go for it. So. Huh. So is that your question back to, you know, the financial support of the artist? You know, my first experience in the States actually was getting public funding.
I know.
So
that's
I kind of
wow.
like, I have a
That'll
skewed version.
Yeah, you
of
thought, oh, this
I'm
is
like,
good.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, of course, it's fantastic. But, you know, obviously
yes.
there's the commercial market here, too, which mm-hmm. drives a lot of the arts. Mm-hmm. Certainly private money anyway. But
no, it's true. I have received public funding. Less from the commercial market, but I shouldn't complain. I've received grants.
It's a, you know, yes. it's a very sort of poignant transaction in that mm-hmm. like you're, I think, especially now since I've experienced both private and public money, mm-hmm. with the public money, you're very aware that it's kind of not your money. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's by the grace of the culture around you that's allowing you to do mm-hmm. this. And I mm-hmm. think it, you know, in that way, I think there's a section of the arts when you fund it from the people, ultimately, the government, that it does make it a little bit more responsive, I think, anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I think ideally it does. And if you don't have any public funding, then you're losing that opportunity to really focus our artists' attention on that relationship between their practice and the public, because not every artist has one either. I mean,
right.
not every artist yeah. cares about public funding, because it's mm-hmm. like my work is not about that or not, doesn't mm-hmm. intersect with that. But so I don't know. I hope that's a more full answer to your question about my thoughts on public funding. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We're talking to David Eustace, a painter and an installation artist with a studio in Hudson who lives in Germantown. He's you are still a Canadian citizen, is this
oh,
true?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I'm down here. My visa, my title is Alien of Extraordinary Ability.
That's well, we know yeah, that, alien.
Oh, you can I'm use that to get a grant for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I like that. I like the alien bit.
Yeah. An alien of extraordinary ability. That's so, wonderful. Yeah. There's a short story in that, let me tell
it's
you.
It's yours.
Thank you.
I'm really, you know.
You stopped writing.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I mean, I think about it once in a while, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. not.
Did you write prose or poetry or plays?
I wrote prose. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess we'll call it long form fiction.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're unfinished, undigested novels and ideas for them sort of
right.
are in my wake. But yeah, no, it's primarily, I guess it dabbled in poetry. I guess mm-hmm. kind of what writer doesn't sort of dabble
right.
in poetry?
Mm.
I admit it, sure.
Okay.
But yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fiction. But
Debbie's so. Being modest about what she has accomplished because she's a published author.
Yeah.
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 And has a blog. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this I know. So this is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to call her out, though, because if she wants to be modest, it's... You
know, right.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you have to do as a visa holder? I mean, how long does it allow
you to be here? Well, it's interesting, and this is... I think we talked about this on the phone the other day, and the system is set up to facilitate me coming down here and making work and exhibiting it. That's the...
Good.
That's what it's there for. And so, interestingly enough, it's not contingent on like how much money you make or how much money you're generating, say, mm-hmm. for the economy. It's there's something called like acclaim, so you have to have
you
have to have a kind of acclaim.
Move the mic if it's not where you want it.
Got it. Sorry.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of peer recognition and then kind of community recognition. What are you doing within mm-hmm. the context of the United States, of the community you're living in? So that's what they look at, and then they can just look at upcoming projects. Why do you want to continue to stay here? And as I said, in that way, they've been very, very fair with me. And it's sometimes it focuses me a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. every time we have to renew it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is kind of like the bigger narrative of my practice. And I'm not sure I would do that necessarily, because, you know, like a lot of artists, you just sort of put your head down and you work and and then a decade goes by and you look up.
That's a good thing. You just you have to prove that you're an artist.
Kind of, yeah. That's the that's the thing. And it's again merit-based, and I find, you know, again I find it kind of remarkable, because the States is obviously commercially focused, right? And it's as far as this requirement, it's interesting. It's not about money or even generating income, you know, for as a lot of jobs, they're kind of calculating how much you're going to be paying in taxes and make, make for the country, right?
Uh-huh.
So, and I don't know, you know, I meant to look in before I came to see what an American artist would have to do to go to Canada.
I know. I don't have any idea. That's interesting. Yeah.
You haven't ever threatened to move to Canada, Debbie?
It's too cold, Ellen. I am as far north as I can manage. Yes.
A little, you know, it's a little bit colder, say, Toronto. Montreal, I can't lie. I mean, there's a bitter cold period, but.
Yeah. But Toronto is...
Toronto's pretty mild, yeah.
More mild.
Yeah, very much like this. Uh-huh. Very much like this. In fact, since I've lived here, I've seen more snow here.
Really?
Than I've seen in Toronto for
in
years.
Toronto.
You know, until
since
I was a kid, so. Yeah.
Well, okay. Toronto. Oh, how large a city is Toronto? Do you remember?
A few million. I mean, I guess it's a big city. It's their financial center.
Is it?
A lot of arts, you know, there's a lot of arts activity, a lot of theater there.
Mm-hmm.
The visual arts, tons of galleries. Again, it's a city with, like, money, I guess. It's got, like, a finance center. So that helps. I mean, it's a lot of their arts. Despite the great funding there, a lot of artists still rely on, you know, private patronage and sales and things like that. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's nice. I grew up there. When I visit Canada, I will go to Toronto to see my family there, or I will go to Montreal to sort of have fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where we go to have fun. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I shouldn't make comparisons on there. I don't want to anger any listeners if I, like, say one city's better than
you. Do you think they're listening in Canada? 91.7 FM?
Well, I let some people know, so maybe they're streaming, but...
They might
know.
Be streaming on WGXC.org.
Yeah.
So, great. You know, now that I think of it, there are a couple of antique dealers here who are occasionally having to go back to some Scandinavian country, Norway, Finland, Norway, I think. And it must have to do with their visa.
Mm-hmm. It could, yeah. I mean, I know, again, that's that the... I think Europeans get 3 months here to without checking in and something
really?
Like that.
That's
and
cool.
The Canadian one is six for the snowbirds. As we know, you guys know that term, yeah, of course.
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
We do for
the snowbirds. So
interesting. Yeah.
But I've heard that from many people in town that going into Canada is no picnic. That they get a little flack. I don't know what your experience
is. Is this a recent... I haven't been in Canada
In Hudson, so not even since all the recent fun has started, but
right.
Like...
Several years ago, I went to Canada. I took myself to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls.
Oh.
And I drove in, and I brought my passport because then... People can't argue with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not your driver's license. It's your passport.
I think it's a requirement now, though.
It might be.
It might not have been
before. But this was 11 years ago, you know, 11 or 12 years ago. So I don't know what it was then. It may not have been required at the time, but I did it anyway because I had the passport.
Right.
And I was glad I did.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was not friendly, you know? So.
Well, again, you know, and I yeah. It's I hate hearing that, you know, obviously
but it's probably just
embarrassing
as bad when
for
you come this
me,
way.
I guess as a Canadian, but I do again I always go back to they're borders. This is like serious business. The laws change, everything
is.
Changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think they have to be a little tough.
A little bit tough, and I think it's
especially
just,
on old ladies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at you right now and I'm thinking, yeah, I can see why they
that she might mean trouble,
Asleep is just quiet.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Okay. Well, so that's all I know. I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh, you haven't? No.
You know,
I haven't either.
No.
I went to the World's Fair. Where was that? Was that Toronto?
No.
Montreal, I think.
It was Montreal.
I guess it
that was.
It
a
must
long
have been
time.
Montreal.
Everything's 20% off there.
I've
you
never
know
been
that,
in
right?
Toronto.
It's
right.
It's all.
I know.
For now, anyway.
I kept having to buy things
so.
Because, I had fun. It was nice.
Well, I keep saying I want to take that Amtrak trip up through the Adirondacks to Montreal. Ooh. It's supposed to be a really great trip, and it's fairly inexpensive. Every once in a while, they have a big sale.
Oh, that's good. I always drive, which is actually quite nice. It's quite a nice drive. It's a nicer drive to Montreal than Toronto, I will say that.
Mm.
But it's a great idea to take the train.
Right, and many years ago, I took the train across Canada.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, from Montreal to Vancouver. I was on my way to Anchorage, to Alaska.
Oh, great.
I know, and I thought it was a good way to do that.
And so how long did that take then?
Oh, you know what? I got on the train in Montreal at night. Okay, so I think it was, and then I'm thinking 3 nights. And then we arrived in Vancouver in the morning. But it was really great. So you had a day in the mountains and a day on the plains and then a day in the Rockies.
So just straight travel on the train.
Yeah. I was afraid to get off. What if they left me? Actually, I did. You know, you get off and you walk around like they do in the movies. But I stayed near the door.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. And as Anchorage, your destination?
Yes, I was visiting a friend who lived in Anchorage.
Wow.
I know. And then I was going to take a boat. It's a sad story, but the boat was on strike. So then I had to fly anyway.
Oh, you were trying to avoid flying.
Yeah.
I was trying to piece it together. I was like, maybe she just likes trains.
Oh, I do. And I've flown a lot. It wasn't that I don't fly. I was just trying to
Want to do the train
something trip. Different. Yeah. And get from Vancouver to Anchorage on a boat or something. I don't know. This was a long time ago. And hello? Oh, I thought somebody was waving at me. then there was a strike. So it was ignominious. I had to fly from Vancouver to Seattle because the law was you couldn't fly from I couldn't fly from Vancouver to Anchorage. I had to go back to Seattle and then fly up to Anchorage.
Huh.
But I tried.
Oh, because of the plane schedule or something?
Or the border laws or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We have all these rules and laws.
Oh, rules and regulations.
Yeah, it was some regulation.
Well, I do, you know, so I grew up in the 70s, and I do remember my parents talking about, and I guess it would have been in the 80s, how the border was just closing. And I remember that discussion, the same discussion then, sort of like this tightening up of the border. So I'm always curious at what point was it that super fluid?
Yes.
You know, that you could just sort of wander. I mean, maybe it was the 60s, 50s or something. It was that fluid. But
I took the train in the 70s. I think it was 77.
Hmm.
And of course, I was just a tourist, so it was okay. I don't know where they checked our passports. That kind of detail, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we drove up to Montreal, so we crossed the border there, and there I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyway, so you have this show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
And what about the funeral installation? When is that going to happen?
That one I would idea? Like. I'm looking for a venue. Mm-hmm. Basically, winter. I mean, it's a winter installation, and it would be.
I was trying to think if there's any space in the opera house where you could put
fitting. Yeah, you know, it would have been great before the renovation.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it wasn't quite ready then, but no, sometime. Kind of in the deep dark winter, and you know, for kind of obvious, I don't know, take advantage of the mood of the season, my practice in general, like I paint 9 months out of the year because I paint outside, I paint in an unheated space, and so for 3 months it's a little like gardening. I start in the spring. My process is just to keep going back to this stuff day after day. And
great.
By the time the fall comes, I usually have a few pieces to show. And
uh-huh.
And then the winter sort of play video games and think about what I'm going to do in the spring. I don't know, like all sorts of watch movies or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Read, I could say I read poetry, which I do. But
uh-huh. And I guess, is Basilica closed in the winter because it's not heated?
Yeah, I don't know. They're it's so dynamic down there, and they're always changing things up. So, you know.
That seems like it would be a great place.
That's right. They don't have heat.
So maybe
in the winter.
So maybe I'll talk to them. But yeah, it's a great, great space. And mm-hmm. really, as I said, dynamic. And there's just things are kind of popping up all over the place. And it would be great to be part of that, too, because that's kind of why people are here, right? You know, when mm-hmm. you talk about artists moving here, it's for that kind of interaction and that mm-hmm. kind of,
because things are happening. Yeah.
Things are happening. It's mm-hmm. you know, for such a small city, there seems to be it's like critical mass. You know, just enough. Mm-hmm. There's just enough people making and doing things that it seems to be pretty fertile ground. So,
well, the thing I like about it is if you're working on a production, say a theater production or mm-hmm. something that requires more than just you in a studio, you can find what you need here. I mean, if you need mm-hmm. props, you go on Warren Street. You've got a whole street full of props.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
And
theater.
Recycled materials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you need an artist to do something for you, you know, look next door.
Yeah. There's no shortage of really, really talented and people here.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And new, sort of, I like it because it's, you know, new people are coming all the time. And,
yes.
And there's a little turnover, as always. And mm-hmm. and then, of course, like a really core community who just, like, year after year, continue to sort of grow the culture here, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, honestly, what's attracted me to Hudson is that idea of kind of culture building.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether you're involved directly in it or not, or whether you just sort of support it by attending the things, that's something that's exciting about this place, and less American than other
parts
places. Of the art, sort of like uh-huh. and other places, and just it's uh-huh. it's there's something very reminiscent to me of. Other places I've been in Germany or mm-hmm. back in Canada, or I've done work in Croatia, and yeah, just the sense that you know people are you're just sort of living and culture building as opposed to just like strictly art making.
That's very nice. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right.
And it includes you guys like the radio station, you two, and like everyone who's doing that
exactly.
Is, you know, and I think certainly my coming up. Leaving Brooklyn, New York, when I did, that sense was really lost in my own community. Like places were closing and turning mm-hmm. over, and you know mm-hmm. whatever gentrification it happens, right? But that was what was being lost. Like maybe more commercial opportunities, but a lot less. Just a sense of like you're just all sort of I don't know knitting this crazy quilt together.
Yeah,
you know, that's your local culture. You know, so and hopefully it'll continue too.
Yes, you mean here in Hudson?
Yeah, you have to protect it a little.
You do.
You can't. You can't take it for granted because it's
good point.
And this is something I've learned living here the past few years is mm-hmm. you're balancing visitors' needs. We want people to come visit here, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm a visitor for all intent purposes, right. and I appreciate the hospitality here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to make sure that the local concerns are taken care of as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big problem with. You know, everybody talks about gentrification.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the solutions are not coming forth quickly enough to keep up with the flow
Do you think it's happening at a sort of an accelerated rate in the area?
I think it is. It's all sort of fueled by people from Brooklyn.
I left years ago.
right. No, I don't know.
What I mean by that is the Brooklyn syndrome where, you know, they're coming because they're being priced out in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I came here with an eviction notice in my pocket, so mm-hmm. I feel like yeah. I think I still have it somewhere.
And and that you know, it's like dominoes.
Yeah.
So falling over. So, you know, I feel awful to think that I'm part of the gentrification. But
yeah.
And in one sense I am, but in another I'm not.
Because you've been here a long time.
Well, 22 years.
That's
but
a
when
long
I,
time.
I
yeah,
know.
That's a long, that is
I can't
a long
think.
Time.
It is a yeah. long time. It doesn't feel like I've been here 22 years. But
yeah, I wish there were another word other than gentrification that had a more nuanced or more balanced sort of. Cause, yeah.
It's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's good because it brings prosperity, it brings money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's bad because it pushes people out. And mm-hmm. it's not that they're not being considered. In many cases, they're not being considered, like
right.
developers who mm-hmm. buy a building and kick everybody out
mm-hmm.
and
right.
then let the building sit there mm-hmm. unoccupied for a fairly long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think the city is struggling with how, the city of Hudson, with how they can handle that, how they can convince developers or somehow by law or regulation
right.
make them move faster on these buildings that are sitting there being stockpiled.
Mm-hmm. That were once people's homes.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
well, it's about distribution, right? Like, there is a lot of wealth coming up into the area, but it's a mm-hmm. question of the mechanisms in place to help.
Yeah, and there's no industry
it, right?
here anymore, and industry is not going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there is industry in the old chair factory, Digifab. I don't know what Digifab makes, some sort of widget, I guess.
I don't know. There's a ton of things down there. A lot of artists and a lot of obviously antique dealers and
somebody's making light fixtures down there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah,
that whole area is really interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry but down by Basilica and Kite's Nest and mm-hmm. and all there is like another.
It's another neighborhood.
A real other
yes,
neighborhood, and I
it
think
is.
You're trying to draw people down that way, and then out along the water towards the River City Garden, and then the River Loft site too.
Right.
There's
right.
all that too,
mm-hmm.
and that's you know
mm-hmm.
back to the work that I hope to get done there at some point in the coming
mm-hmm.
months.
And talk to us. What do you do at Kite's Nest?
Oh, I help them set up their exhibitions and that sort of thing. You know, my artistic. Experience, I guess, and just you know, kind of help. They're it's a great organization, and I guess a lot of your listeners are going to know about it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I don't know if anyone's been down to one of their expositions.
No, I have not.
You've never been?
No, I didn't know they had.
Okay,
them.
Always great. Some sort of snacks, strawberry shortcake, and strawberries come to mind.
Yes,
sure, on the last ones, and then just these great, amazing exhibitions of the work that they had been doing for the year
uh-huh.
kind of mounted for public consumption. It's you know, mm-hmm. sort of like setting up a kind of interactive museum where the public's
That's
invited
wonderful.
In and can come and kind of see lots of participatory stuff. So that's the crossover for me. A lot of like my installation art, I want people to interact and
yes.
be a part of that. So trying to teach them how to do that, you know, a sense of like your audience and how do you make a room and how do you make the room that they spend every day or not
uh-huh.
every day, but have this classroom time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you suddenly make that into like an exhibition space?
Yes.
How do you make that into a space that's
because I thought it was something for children.
Oh yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
They're kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 8 to 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The kids participate in anything that's happening almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They stop, I guess. And then they don't. And then they're participating in something else
mm-hmm.
that you maybe want them to come back to what they were participating in the first place. But that's anyone who's experienced kids.
They're
knows
flexible.
Knows that.
It's
right.
fluid down there.
Fluid, yeah.
yeah.
Fluid
mm-hmm.
and flexible.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. And a great chance for us to exercise the same, our fluidity
right.
and flexibility.
Yes.
right.
Thank you, children.
right.
yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
good
yeah.
luck with your visa and all that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I hope so. The plan is in the next coming weeks to firm up the painting exhibition and
uh-huh.
Get the studio installation out into the world and then give updates for the other projects and carry on into that. My painting season is coming to a close, too.
Yes,
so
it will be.
The stuff up, actually, finished something for the show, so
great.
It'll be that fresh. So
yeah.
And
good.
I thank you so much. This has been great chatting. And
yeah.
Thank
I hope
you for
I hope your
in.
Listeners have some more insight into Canada. And
Right. We've been talking to David Eustace, a Canadian who lives here for now, and he's a painter and an installation artist. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we welcome you and all Canadians.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I'll let them know.
Please do.
When they check in next with me, I'll tell them they're all welcome here.
Yeah, it's okay to come here.
And then I'll give them my lawyer's number.
Especially
for
if they're Irish. Yeah.
So he may be listening right now.
Okay, well. We'll leave his name out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be in the archives.
Oh, terrific.
Yes, that too.
Not right away, but...
Next week.
Know.
My mother will be next thrilled. I don't think she could tune in, but she'll want to hear this one. So
okay, good.
Thank you.
Good. Okay.
He's David's
David.
Coming back. Don't worry. He'll be there soon.
Oh yeah.
Mom,
she's talking to your mother.
Oh yeah, she'll appreciate that. Shout out for Mom.